down about.
I'm not down. I mean, this is just... Nate, go through life just getting, like, a maximum of 4 hours. And just catches... It just catches up. But usually, like, back in the day when you could have, you know, go on benders and not sleep, you can sleep for 48 hours.
You're looking at him. Just
exactly.
DC, get blackout drunk, hockey game, back in the office recording.
Yeah, but you have the option to sleep for the next, you know.
Right.
Speaking of that, I'm pulling off, so I just, like, I'm booking a flight. I found a round trip to New Orleans for Halloween.
Oh, God.
No. My flight back's Monday morning, 6 a.m., and I get back at 9 a.m., so I'm just going to party through, and I'm going to rock my costume from Halloween just into the office the next day.
Can I say something without sounding too insincere or like a dick?
Go on.
That doesn't seem like a sober person move.
No. Well, I mean, it's true. but back from Vegas. Nine days in the desert. How we do it?
I'm great. I'm well rested. Smitty hasn't slept in how long?
I sleep, but it's like Frank the Tank where I sleep in sleep shifts, but then I end up working through like 3/4 of my actual shifts. So we're working overtime.
And Binmans, you did 9 days in Vegas.
I did 9 days. Maybe 2 days too long. You know, it's a good trip, though.
9 days in Vegas is exactly seven days too long.
Yeah. Not when you're for like a bachelor party or to party.
Yeah.
Yes. Mincy's grinding. He's out there grinding.
Yeah, I only went to the strip one time. And the only time I went to the strip was Phil Hellmuth was nice enough to have, he said he'd do an interview if I got to the Aria. So I got my ass to the Aria as fast as I could.
Sweet.
And we caught him on that interview Monday night after he busted the final table. We've all seen the tirade and rant he went on.
All right, so let's start there. Myself and Owen on Tuesday's episode, that's like what we talked about, was the different sides of the Phil Hellmuth blow-ups and tirades. And this one was extra special. This one I would put in his top three all time.
Which is amazing because he's generally subdued compared to what he was.
100%, yeah. Like he is a saint compared to, you know, TV 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. Let's start with you, Smitty. Which side? You don't have... I didn't take a side. I see both sides 100% clear on it. I think he went over the line. Throwing your cards at dealers is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He gets special treatment from the floor and from WSOP because of who he is. If anybody else did that, they'd get a warning immediately and then, you know,
banned for life, maybe.
Yeah, well, like,
people, we know people that
people have been banned for less. Like,
Slayer.
So it's kind of strange that he didn't even get as much as a round penalty or anything like that. I also think since he's Phil Hellmuth and he's made everybody in poker so much money based on those antics, bringing eyeballs to the game, getting people interested in poker, it's kind of like they do give him a pass because, you know, he's a name. He's one of the biggest stars in poker, and poker is not the PGA Tour. It's not golf. It's you know, poker. It's back rooms and it's lying.
Go back to your shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, Smitty, let's start with you.
I'm on Phil's side up to the point where he threw the cards at the dealers. I think that's unacceptable, but I'm not past overlooking the fact that Phil Hellmuth asked the dealer first, some way, somehow, maybe beforehand, or the floor to inform the dealers, or ask the floor, hey, is it okay if I throw the cards at some point?
Because there's no chance.
I think there's a chance.
No, he's not scripted. When he's in the moment,
I think there's a chance that, like, he throws out situations.
You're doing conspiracy theories now.
I don't think it's that much conspiracy theory. I knew if I was in a situation, I would do that. I would ask for advance notice.
What?
100%. I've done that before.
He's crazy.
Well, my thoughts are, I mean, we work for Barstool Sports. We're in the business of clicks.
Right.
And Phil Hellmuth, love him or hate him, people click on it. So, you know, yeah, could I get up there at a table and throw cards at a dealer and drop F-bombs? No. But people click on it, man. And if people care about poker and it gets it more mainstream, whatever's got to be done. So I don't have a problem with it.
I do think he was over the line. I think saying I'm going to burn this place to the ground is objectively funny, though, especially from him. Like, no, you're not, Phil. You're going to show up at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning to play next turn.
It's funny because if he said that I'm going to blow this place up, maybe an FBI investigation.
Yeah.
But burn this place to the ground? Simple arson.
I think I said that multiple times when I was standing in two-hour lines out there a couple weeks ago. I was like, I just hope this place burns to the ground. And, you know, we always say, like, poker needs personality, poker needs this and that. Maybe that's not the 100% best way to go about it from Phil. He did apologize on Twitter. He said his mom and dad were upset with him. He said his friend said that he crossed the line.
What, that, how old are his mom and dad?
I guess they had him young.
Phil's 57, so.
Mom and dad are still kicking. Good for them. Shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Helmuth. So, yeah, I think it's a gray area. I think, of course, as Twitter is, like, some people took, like, all the way to one side. Like, how dare him? The WSOP needs to send example and kick him out. It's like, all right, relax. He said a couple potty words, you know, like, we're all adults here. He put up his 10K. If he wants to, like, say fuck a few times, by all means. But let's have a little self-control. You're an adult, Phil. Like, let's act like it, you know.
He's never going to act like it to a point, and that's part of the shtick. And it's funny up until when he throws the cards at the dealer. But again, I think it might have been scripted, so I'm giving Phil the benefit of the doubt. But this came out of kind of nowhere for him, in my opinion. It's almost like he built it up for a while, or he just thought, so, I got to go batshit again at some point.
He was the 10K stud chip leader. He really wants to win bracelets. Like, when we had him on the show, it's like he's just obsessed with winning bracelets. So when one card doesn't go his way, like, it just, you know, it starts piling and gets triggered, and it just builds and builds and builds, and then he snapped. It's, I mean, they make medication for stuff like that, but he loves... I do. When he said to Mintz, he's like, I just love it too much. It's, you know, like, everybody wants to win, Phil. Like, that's not the best excuse, but there is something in his brain where it is all he cares about. Like, he does not care about one single other thing than winning bracelets.
Well, my thing on it is, like, you look back at the first couple of weeks of the World Series, and, you know, there's a bunch of stories going on, you know, of them fighting COVID and numbers and all that. And the biggest story is the Helmuth rant, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, what you're looking for in the content game is the biggest story, and that's been the biggest story, yep. No doubt about it. And I appreciate getting to interview Phil at the Aria. We got, like, 70,000 views on that interview. That ain't too bad.
And what WSOP only cares about is, at this point, eyeballs also. Like, they're going to keep treating him differently than everybody else because, you know, 70,000 views. You know, he is the name.
Was that on CBS, the new broadcast?
No, that was on Poker Go.
Okay, when are the CBS broadcasts starting?
Is that, I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. I know Poker Go's streaming the main.
Yeah, so Poker
I think
Go
CBS Sports may just be, like, airing it later, maybe.
Yeah, that's going to be the edited stuff. This is the raw, like, live stuff. I don't know if this stuff will make the
raw
cut.
Raw dogging.
I want to say some good stuff about Poker Go, though, Smitty, because I know you're good friends with Brent Hanks. And
that fucking scumbag.
Dude, they treated me, man, the Poker Go tailgate outdoors, because you can't do that stuff during summer because it's so hot. But, man, we had a great tailgate. He was grilling brats. Got a putting green out there. We watched Chiefs Bills Sunday Night Football. Really enjoyed the hospitality with him and Jeff Platt. And honestly, Brent helped me get Daniel Negreanu, came and watched Sunday Night Football with us. Brent got Phil Helmuth.
He introduced you to OJ?
I didn't meet OJ.
Okay.
Didn't meet OJ, but I had a really good time with those guys. And check out Poker Go. They're streaming all these events. They're streaming 25 events and every day of the main event. I think they do a good job. And, you know, that I thought that was cool to get to. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, Nate, y'all were all poker fans at heart. And, like, man, when I was getting into poker, I used to read Negreanu's full contact poker blogs back in, like, 04, 05.
Full contact poker.
Dude, I read them religiously. And so when I meet Daniel, I'm kind of geeking out, you know, because that was, like, a part of how I got into the game. And he couldn't have been nicer to me. I had him laughing pretty hard a little bit. And, you know, but Daniel, but he was, like, appreciative. I was like, look, man, your full contact poker blogs helped get me into poker. And, you know, he couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, no, we always say he's the best. He's always, like, had time for us, our dumb little show.
And even fans, like, that approach him when he's playing and stuff. He always is super cool.
Like, he'll run to the rail and, like, just during, like, a 5K and, like, take pictures with fans, like, in between hands. Which, by the way, he's on day three of this 5K six-handed, 31 players left.
Oh, wow.
There's him. There's Galen Hall, who I have nothing but wonderful things to say about. He's been
on the
show
before. Was that the six-hand you played in, Mintz?
No, I played the 1500, and that of all the events I played five. That was the only one where I felt like I was really rusty and got a little exposed.
Dude, the six-handed games that I played in AC and Vegas, they're the toughest by far.
Way more aggressive, and you see way more hands, and it's just so. Walk us through what happened in your six-max.
Okay, my six-max thing, like, a lot of my game, like, I basically would. I had a few pots where I like 3-bet ace queen and had to dog pots on the turn where I like C-bet and got floated and the board texture be bad. Like, I felt like basically...
I mean, people don't fold 10-handed. Nobody's folding 6-handed.
Yeah, the problem is, like, I felt like I was just leaking chips. Like, I'd get in a pot where I'd 3-bet and bet the flop and have to give up.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, the main point is when I'm at the top of my game, I'll pull that triple barrel bluff off on the river with the air, and we're not there right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't played in a couple years. But when you're playing 9 and 10-handed, you can hide all that stuff really, really easily. And so, you know, I played 5 tournaments. I felt good about every one of them but the 6-max. And the 6-max, I mean, I should have...
You still got it in good, though.
Yeah, well, I sucked out King-8 of clubs to aces once to stay alive. That happens. Yeah. But, yeah, I lost a flip at the end. But that was the only one I didn't feel great about. The Millionaire Maker was the one that was the bummer over the weekend because I had a guy... I had a hand where a dude just completely punted ace-9 to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like got in like 55 big blinds pre with ace-9 of hearts when I had queens, and he hit trip nines on Friday. And I was like, screw it. We're getting vengeance Saturday, you know, all that. And Saturday, you start with 25K. I got to dinner at 53K.
Good.
Feeling good. And then I just lost to just titanic 100 big blind flip ace-king to jacks where it just couldn't be helped. I mean, yeah. I called ace-king in a squeeze spot. And so I went raise, call. I re-raised 13K.
Oh, that's like the most perfect spot ever at a 6-max table.
Yeah, this was full ring, but and then
Millionaire Maker. I'm sorry.
And the guy jammed 50-something K, and I snapped ace king, and he had jacks. I mean, the hands played themselves, but if I win that flip, I have 115K at like 1,200 big blind.
I saw a couple comments that I thought was interesting, and it's kind of why me and Jake started this podcast forever ago. It's like we want to, you know, just talk about poker, but also get like the common man interested in poker and maybe people who aren't, you know, playing every day to understand a little more about the game and how fun it is. Some people are like, why'd you get it all in with ace king? You know, it's like a drawing hand and stuff like it. It is the most standard spot, especially because you look so much weaker when you squeeze there. Like, you could be squeezing so light, and that's...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, Jax is hoping that you call with, like, I don't even know, like, eights or nines, but you're not even squeezing that, I don't think. But,
no, that hand just played. It was just a spot where, I mean, he raised out of the cutoff, so late position. He made it 3,200, the button called 3,200, and I had ace-king the small blind. I think I made it 13.1, and the guy jammed 55, and I called 52. I mean, it just played itself. It was just unfortunate, because, like, what I learned on this trip about the stoolies and poker. Poker is hyper in the moment, and Barstool is hyper in the moment. So when you're making a run in a tournament, man, my Twitter was going off on Monday and Tuesday when I cashed those events.
Yeah.
But it's like, in the heat of the moment, it goes off, but when you bust, it's over.
Yeah.
And so it's like...
It deflates real quick.
I mean, it's like people are like into
people
it.
People get so invested while you're playing, building a stack and making a run, and then it's just the balloon pops.
Yeah, and the one that got away from me was the Monday, the 600 deep stack. I made the money, and there's 400 left, and this guy... Remember, you were there when I lost the ace-jack to king-jack. That was the one that was the most deflating of the whole trip.
And I was thinking about kind of what you... like, I don't know how tournament pros do it. It's just so deflating when you're making a run, you're deep in the money, and then your king jack or your ace jack loses to king jack. You do nothing wrong. You're playing your best. And it's just, it's hard to explain to, I don't know, like a Dave Portnoy. It's like, no, I played great. It's just like, it wasn't my fault.
I know how tournament pros do it. They don't lose coin flips.
No,
never.
They're all just backed.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. They're all backed by rich people. So when it finally does go their way, they hit the big score.
Yeah, they hit the big score, but then they're 100K in makeup when they hit it. And so
tournament poker is just a I love it, but it's a motherfucker.
Yeah, I look back on my career, and all I mainly played was tournaments. I didn't play. You really need to, if you're going to be a poker pro, you need to grind cash for steady income and then selective shot take tournaments, because it's like tournaments, no matter how good you are, it's hard. You know, it's almost like being in real estate where you sell a house every 3 months to make a big score. Mm-hmm. Like in tournaments, you're just like not gonna make money for a few months, but when you do, you win 100K or whatever,
or you bubble the final table.
You're so negative, so pessimistic.
Wow,
you don't think your time's coming?
It could be.
See, there you go.
I will say, looking back on this trip, though, when I went in and I was trying to be very transparent with the stoolies and the blogs, and I got a decent amount of support on the blogs. You know, I got some compliments on them, which I appreciate. I went in saying, look, I'm going to be rusty. You know, I hadn't played live poker in a couple years. I thought I'd be more rusty than I was. Well, it turns out no one else has played live poker the last 2 years, too. And so I was like, compared to where I thought I'd be, I was way ahead of
it. I felt the same.
Well, I was asking Minty, like, you got any pros at your table? How was the field? And he's like, oh, it's pretty weak, but it looks like you had Ryan Reese to your right, and then Sean Deeb to your left.
Yeah, I had Deeb on my left. I had Reese to my right. I played – oh, big shout out to Cherish Andrews. I played with her. She just final tabled the ladies event.
Oh, wow.
But I played with like a bunch of pros. I played with a few that I don't know their names, but I – if I got their names, I'm sure they had like a mill in – there's this one Euro that I played with that I know. Like I knew his face, don't know his name, didn't feel like asking. But yeah, I played with a bunch of pros while out there.
Maybe, you got worse table draws.
Maybe bad table draws.
Jake Schwartz was at my table when I was in that 600.
So Jake Schwartz final table, the flip and go. Also,
what a fucking world.
Also, David Williams, I believe, fired – 19 bullets in the flip and go before finally making it through to the next round, and then he like min cashed it, so he lost like 18k.
yeah
That's so degenerately awesome.
Well, if you come second in the main, like I guess 20 years later, he crushes everything.
Oh yeah, you know? Like that wasn't just like a flash in the pan second in the main thing. Like
who'd he lose to?
Raymer.
Raymer, yeah.
Yeah.
Fossil, man. Fossil,
Raymer, man. Raymer was eaten by me in the poke.
I bet he was.
he was eating one of those, like, the food thing at Rio, like, the actual Rio food's kind of gross, and Raymer was just eating the grossest-looking cheeseburger.
It doesn't matter if it's gross, doesn't matter if it's legal or not.
Oh, no, you really wanted to do that. He's just a man after love.
What are you talking about?
He's looking for love in all the wrong places, huh? No.
Just a man after...
But... I thought it was funny.
Well, it's like parking. Why pay for it? If you apply yourself, you can get it for free.
I met Greg Raymer 2 WSOPs ago. And I was like, that would be cool to like get a picture with him. Because like, Big Cat's obsessed with him. Like he's just like one of those weird things.
Big Cat doesn't understand the glasses or why he
like,
has a fossil.
You know when Big Cat gets randomly obsessed with stuff like Danny Boy Kane? He's like that with Fossil Man. He's like that with Greg Raymer. He's just obsessed with him. So I was like, it would be funny if I got a picture with Greg Raymer. But then Greg Raymer ended up talking to me for like a half hour about like how to play 4th Street in like a stud 8 or better or something. I was like completely lost the moment on me, Greg Raymer. So I never got that picture. But when we go back, I will try to get
I wish I'd have known that. I would have gotten a picture with him when I was sitting by him to send to Big Cat if I'd have known Big Cat that was a thing.
It's just one of those things.
Like I guess Big Cat was like watching the 04 main back in the day and just remembers it.
He
kind of stood out.
In every room. Oh, God, that was mean.
That was mean. Jesus Christ.
Because the glasses.
Yeah, so no,
glasses
he's... I've heard he's a nice guy. I've played with him like once or twice. I mean, he's never... I don't know him that well, so I can't
really... I will also
They need to bring back like identifiable just chip holders and like...
Yeah, I don't use one.
I don't use one either.
I was using
Like, who uses a fossil for a chip holder?
We need...
It is outrageous.
Actually, if you remember at the 18 main event, I used the mic flag, the Barstool Sports mic flag, just because, like, for when the cameras
promotion
came around. Yeah. That was, I might bring that back. I need to find one, but I think that was a good one.
I mean, you can put a phallus out there. Call yourself Dildo Man.
Guy to my right was using a mini bottle of Tabasco sauce.
And, I kind of like that.
And he was wearing a shirt, and it said, "This is my," and then it was the King of Diamonds, or a Jack of Diamonds, King of Diamonds, and then it said, "Shirt." Oh, no, King of Diamonds, Jack of Clubs shirt. So my Jack King off shirt, disgusting.
Oh, I didn't know where you were going with that.
Absolutely foul. And he's just wearing that. And he had his little bottle of Tabasco, and Cherish was to my left. And I was like, read his shirt. And she was like, that. Like, she vomited at the table.
Mm.
I just doubled
tough
her
look.
Yeah, to be so proud of wearing that shirt. Like,
tough.
That's a shirt that would do phenomenally in the Facebook meme crowd.
Oh, yeah. I was like, we need to make that shirt. I think I sent it to Allison. I was like, we need to start making these. A lot of also people wearing a 7 and a deuce, and it goes, I don't even fold my laundry. A ton of them. Like, way.
I almost don't even get that.
I don't fold my laundry. I'm not going to fold a bad hand.
Okay.
There was a lot of that there?
A ton of it.
That's actually wild. That, like,
a ton.
Middle America humor is just going
to
display itself.
No, it really was like a walking Facebook marketplace.
Okay,
like,
maybe that's our play. Maybe we just peddle T-shirts outside the Rio and get our bites.
I think that might be the move, is to make the Jack King off shirt. It was really gross. It was just really gross. We got back from dinner. It's like, "How was your dinner?" He just had like sauce dripping down his face.
Oh, geez,
it was just so foul. Of course, he had every chip at the table too. Guy had no idea how to play.
Ugh.
Are you gonna fuck with the jacking off guy?
I looked full. I even folded my laundry.
Yeah, he's got you mentally on that.
That was when I folded every single hand after dinner and then min cashed. What a fucking beat that was of just.
It was fun though. I know it's like the small victories, but it was fun that us cashing together. I thought that was.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Look back on, I guess, like, yeah, in like 2 years, like when Penn stock quadruples, I'll be like, oh, that was fun that we did that. Right now, I really would prefer to have like gone way deeper in that.
No, I totally hear you. But I mean, it's got me and you too. I mean, I'm excited for the main now. And to me, that first trip was about, you know, getting the rust off the game, got interviews in the Granu and Helmuth. And, you know, I thought it was overall a pretty successful trip. I just wish the Millionaire Maker would have gone better because the only thing that was missing was a Millionaire Maker run.
And
that
you know
was,
what?
That
I,
was what
I think
I
it's cool that, like, you stayed out and grinded. Like, I've always wanted to spend, you know, the full series. I don't know if it'll ever happen. I'm sure at some point, once I'm fired, it'll happen, but it won't happen, you know, soon.
Let's take that severance. Severance and NDA. And just
I would like, on note, that was not me knocking on wood.
Actually, that was me knocking on wood.
I don't want that on the record. But I think it's cool that you've played five events. I think it's great. Like, I think you, when watching you out there, I think you were in your element. Like, those were like your people, you know? Like, those were like, and everybody, like, all those stoolies and like the. You know, like the poker news people who take your picture and report on you, they were all really, really cool. Got to know a couple of them. I know you and I both did like quick interviews with a few of the people out there. It was just fun. It was
so
just
what's your percentage now, World Series of Poker cashes?
I need to go through it. I really don't know, which is weak. But I mean, I think I've cashed like 14 or 15 total now.
Wow.
14, 15?
But I mean, I've done a couple whole summers.
Yeah,
out there, right?
Yeah.
I remember one summer I cashed like 5 or 6 events.
That's sick.
So yeah, I think I'm like 0 for 5.
But they're like all main events.
Well, 3 main events, and I think one time I played.
I'm 2 for 5. The one that really matters. I'm two for five in the main, and if I can catch this year to get to 3 for 6 lifetime, that would be
that's
awesome.
A Hall of Fame that's percentage right there.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I feel honestly, guys. I feel optimistic about this main. I feel way better than I expected to after this trip. Right. I think my game is better than I thought. And more really, not just my game is better. I just think other people are sucks too. I mean, I saw a lot of really, really bad players.
I think that is a fair, mean yet fair thing to say. I was not impressed with
but I think
quality.
That's almost the mentality you need to go in with at sometimes.
Yeah, you have to. If you don't like, have that confidence think, in yourself, then like
if
what
you think
you
you're better than everybody else, that translates big time.
Yeah, and you can feel that edge at the table too. Mm-hmm. Like the guy's just confident in your movements.
Because if you think somebody's better than you, they are gonna fucking get in your head. And even if you have the best hand, 100% of the time, you're folding.
That's sometimes why I don't like to know people's names at the table. Mm-hmm. Like I've gotten texts from friends like, oh, that's so-and-so, 2 to your left. And I'll look them up, you know, like $2 million in career earnings. And kind of makes you play differently again.
Yeah, it makes you tighten up and feel like you have to have it against them. And then they adjust
they
that.
Just
they can tell you're showing them respect, and then they just steal all the dead pots.
Oh, yeah.
And like, then they're just like, oh, and you – but then you can, like, 3-bet them, and they'll fold. You know, if you have nuts, they think you have it.
It was also with Deeb on my left. It's just fascinating. I've said this about McKeon. I've, you know, other pros that I've played with at the table. Some guys, like, they just know how to pick spots against every player so quickly. Like, they just pick up on everything so quickly. Like, so he's 3-betting me light, and we're having fun. We're having good talk at the table. And so you know, he knows the exact...
He's stealing chips off
but,
you.
But then he knows the exact spot where he's going to 3-bet with the aces, and I'm going to shove king-queen of clubs straight into his aces, thinking that he's just trying to fuck with me, because he's just... Like, pros just know how to do it. And I love seeing it happen at the table.
Well, did that happen?
Oh, yeah. I shoved king-queen of clubs into his aces, and I got there.
It wasn't a problem for Nate.
Oh, you got there? The dog.
Obviously, I got there.
I think he flopped top set, and you made a straight,
Yeah, he
right?
flopped top set, and I rivered the gut shot.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
That is
how I love watching better players than myself in action and just watching how they maneuver the table and how they just, like... can take complete advantage of the weaker spots at the table, and I'll be like, wow, I fucking suck compared to this guy.
Congrats to Bodog Ari on winning that 10K. Yep. I did those Mincy Men interviews and had him, and him and I, Ari Engel, go back to 2004 Bodog way back in the day. And he won the 10K Omaha Low that Helmuth got fifth in, mm-hmm. I believe. But congrats to Ari. It's a second bracelet. But, I mean, to win a 10K and championship event.
Our boy Connor Drinan got another final table. He finished second in like 1500 something or other. I don't remember. Mixed games. Maybe it was the dealer's choice. Can't remember. He's a fucking beast.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's.
And so Negroni's bracelet hunting right now in the final 30 of.
Helmuth's made three 5K. FTs. Three FTs for Phil.
Helmuth is crushing. And there was one other. And the 10K short deck started today, so that'll probably have like a big name winner. We'll see if maybe Ivy might jump in that. Probably not, but I know he's a big short deck guy. Nobody really knows if Ivy's in Vegas or in Macau or where he is right now. There is rumors he might skip the entire series. There's rumors he might show up randomly. Nobody seems to know where in the world Phil Ivy is right now, but poker's better with him in it.
I kind of love that.
Yeah.
How it's
he's
just,
a man of mystery.
Yeah, he's Carmen Sandiego.
He 100% is. He might just get bored in Macau. He's like, I don't know, I made $8 million today. I guess I'll go back to Vegas.
Go play the main and try to win it for that. For
dump him in the bowling alley.
What do you think? The positive of the World Series, I got to say, like the 500 was a little bit of a crap show because it was the first event back. Remember how you and I got stuck in that long line on the reentry and I ended up unregging. But after that, it was pretty damn well run, considering everything that was going on.
Well, when the rest of us go back to work and you stay out there, I guess it is a little easier to register.
That's true, but it was just overall, though, you know, dealing with the COVID and staffing and stuff, I thought they did a good job.
Well, how was the dealer shortages?
Not as bad as I thought. I thought the dealers did a decent job.
I had mostly good dealers, and the dealers that were bad, the table was very helpful, you know, just counting pots and like, now I mean, we had one very bad dealer who like literally like is like, now do the turn and now, wait, don't do the next one, like we have to bet first. And then she dealt me the next day and had improved significantly, and I was like, that's encouraging.
Just off the,
no, like obviously I'd never dealt poker in her life, like never in her life. But also, anytime people really saw a player getting super pissed off, people like, you gotta chill, like you gotta chill, like you can't say that, don't say that to the dealer. There's in the super turbo 1K,
unless you're Phil Halpin, you're throwing cards
on. Yeah, but that was still I think I would guess he has formally apologized to that dealer for doing that.
Nah, I think it was an inside job.
I don't. There was a extremely slow dealer in the 1K super turbo where you cannot have a slow dealer, and the table called over the floor, like all of them was like, we need a new dealer, like this is just. And I looked over and I had that dealer the day before, and they were right. Like he must have been 97 years old, God bless him, but he must have blown all his money on the ponies or something and just needed, you know, income. But he should not have been dealing the 1K super turbo at all. Besides that, pretty good time. The dealers are overworked and underpaid, sure,
naturally,
but I thought the quality was up to par.
No COVID outbreaks so far either.
Zero COVID outbreaks. I'll knock on wood for that one so far. Vaccines work.
Now, you gentlemen don't have to answer if you don't want to, but dealer tipping, what do you cash?
I'll answer. I didn't because I wasn't using my own money and I had investors for my backing, and so that's not my money.
Okay.
And so I you know, I mean, what are you
going
to
do? I left a 20 on a min cash. I thought it was acceptable.
Okay.
Most people, when they min cash, don't tip because, like, the winner always, you know, final table people always tip, like, the most.
Well, say you win, what's customary?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, I would get,
if I want 100.
Depends on how big the win was.
Yeah, let's say.
Now, did they ask you if you wanted to tip the dealers?
They do.
They do. They did ask, but the thing is.
Oh, Ben.
No, it's completely.
I know. It's just like a depressing feeling.
If I won 100K, I guess I would ask the floor, how much do people normally tip?
And I mean, I'll be honest, I'd give 1,000.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think I can get more than that. They already take the rake. It just sucks, but the rake is so high already, and the overhead's so high.
Well, but I mean, that doesn't go directly to the dealers.
Some of it does, but I don't. I just, when you win an event, it's your responsibility to tip for all of us idiots who like didn't win it. That's how I see it. And hopefully one day I have that privilege of tipping the dealers a bunch.
Hold you to that.
I would love to. I would absolutely love to tip the dealers, you know, a couple $1,000. It just hasn't happened for me yet.
That sounds like a first world problem. I would like to have.
I would love to have, yeah. We'll wrap it up. This was episode, I don't know, 105, the Mincy experiment going well.
Yeah, I'll actually say this in Vegas, because I'm real big on that. I think this is part of why I felt good, was the no booze stuff. But man, I ran like 13 miles and exercised like 5 days while I was in Vegas. I was really serious about it. The M had a nice gym where I stayed, the Penn property, and you know, I'm feeling good, man. I feel better. Yeah, I ran 3 miles yesterday. I think since I got the haircut, I look a little better, a little younger. I was looking a little rough there with that. My hair was bad.
I'm glad you're feeling good and looking good, Mincy.
Hey, you look good, feel good, play good, like our employee, our friend Deion Sanders says.
It is your world, and we're just all living in it.
Big stoked about the main, though. Going to go back. There's the 1K mini main is on Wednesday, November the 4th, I believe, or 3rd. And going to play that and then play the main is the plan. I got it approved by the higher-ups. So
wow. The ball's on you after Dave says nobody gives a fuck about any of this content, just to waltz in and be like, hey, I'm going back.
Hey, look.
I love it. I need you to do every hard thing in my life.
Well,
he's going to ask Dave to back him.
Is that true?
I'm thinking about it.
Jesus Christ. We're going to do it on camera.
Oh, yeah. Of course. No. Oh, no. Yeah. Hey. Well, I figure it's like a free roll.
He might just take out his dick and hit you in the face with it and tell you to walk away.
Yeah, but I mean, then we can use it as a chip on my shoulder that Dave doesn't believe in me.
You're the best, Mincy.
And
you're
then if he absolute. Does do it.
God, you're my favorite person in the world. I mean,
thank you, Nate.
I mean, maybe not for the right reasons, but God damn you.
Take it anyway we get.
Or Dave's just like, the fact that you are like so ballsy to ask me that, I'll fucking do it. Like,
I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing, there's two things that could happen. The first one could be like, F you, Mincy, you cost me like $100K with your college baseball picks. How could you dare ask me for more money? And then I can use that as a slight to prove him wrong.
Okay.
Or he says, the hell with it, and he messes with me at the World Series main like he did in Omaha.
Yeah.
And but either way, it'd be, you know.
More on that to come. I guess on that note, like a little cliffhanger. Episode 105, that's Smitty. That's Ben Mintz. I'm Nate. Owen is a ghost today.
Bye, guys.